If you are a teacher who's looking for an extremely dynamic idea that is going to work for all students at all grade levels and all ability levels, you are in the right place because we are going to talk about how we can leverage would you rather questions for so much learning, for so much communication, and an opportunity to have awesome social and emotional learning with our students. I know that sometimes it feels like our students are highly engaged and highly participating, and other times it feels like crickets in the classroom. But in today's episode of the This Teacher Life podcast, I'm going to break down a very specific way on how we can use would you rather questions in the context of our classroom. I'm going to give you specific questions that work really well. I'm going to give you authentic answers of how students responded and show you a really cool path to actually getting kids communicating. And it's going to work great for morning meeting, advisory, homeroom, as a Fun Times Friday activity. I am telling you, this is an episode that you are going to want to hear because of the authenticity that flows. And if it works for my students, I'm certain that will also work for your students. If that sounds like something that is fun and maybe a little bit different, and you're willing to try new things, you're in the right place. Let's get into the episode.
There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life.
Teachers, I need to tell you an embarrassing story, and I'm wondering if you can relate to this. My school recently hosted our annual spelling bee, and I was asked to MC the event. And I thought to myself, this is the closest to a spelling bee that I have ever come. Spelling is not a strength of mine, but speaking and getting kids hyped and clapping for kids, that's in my wheelhouse. So I said, yes, absolutely. I would love to MC the spelling bee. And so I had sent out a number of emails to staff saying, I'm happy to MC this. And I was using the letters MC, because that's what MCing is. MC. That made sense to me. And then I got a list of all of my duties, all of the things that I needed to do. And I saw that we don't spell MC with the letters MC. It's like E-M-C-E-E. And I thought, well, this is proof. This is absolutely proof that I should not be a judge of the spelling bee, because I would tell everyone they did a great job. I would say that is spelled correctly. And then a judge would have to be like, no. No, Ms. Genta, that was incorrect, okay? We all have our strengths. I don't know if you can relate to this. Maybe you're the championship speller when you were a kid. Maybe you got out on a silly word and you still have maybe some trauma to unpack from that. Either way, I'm feeling those emotions with you. But what I want to do in this episode today is talk about how that situation actually inspired one of my most favorite morning meetings that I have taught this entire school year. I love using would you rather questions to cultivate conversation, to capture the hearts in the heads of kids, to create catalysts for conversations. And so I want to throw out a would you rather question that worked so well with my students. I said, the spelling bee is coming up. Would you rather get into the spelling bee, but you get out in the very first round on a very hard word? Or would you rather get to the championship round, but end up getting second place because you made a silly error? Which would you pick? Would you rather just absolutely go out proud knowing, darn it, I was out in the first round, but it was a hard word, or get second place, but you made a silly error? That is a very interesting question. And what's cool about that, I used it in the context of a spelling bee, but you could use that exact same would you rather question for other areas of life. It could be you are at a basketball tournament or a baseball tournament or a dance competition, and you get out in the very first game. You get out in the very first rounds, but it was to a really, really, really good team, but the tournament's over. Or would you rather get to that championship round? You are in the finals of the brackets. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, we're going to for sure win. Check out our competition. And then the underdog wins. You make a silly mistake. You make a silly error. And you end up with second. That type of question has way more than what we see on the surface. And if you don't believe me, use that as a would you rather with your own students and watch the conversations unfold. Because I literally just did this with my students, and I did it with fourth graders, fifth graders, and sixth graders. I've also asked this same question at a middle school level and a high school level, and the results always fascinate me. So I actually want to share some of the things that my students said. In one of my classes, we had a situation where we did a preliminary vote, okay? Before we dive into the pros and cons of each, kind of just go with your initial gut instinct. What is your quick opinion on this? And we voted. And a majority of students said that they would rather get out in the very first round. And a small number of students said that they would rather go to the second place round. And that was really interesting. So their initial gut was that. Well, what's crazy is one grade level over, they did the exact opposite. And so literally in the matter of like 40 minutes, I had the exact same conversation with a group of fifth graders and a group of sixth graders, and their initial gut opinions on this were the exact opposite. Fascinating. I wonder where your students would fall with this. But let's dive in to, after we voted and got gut instincts, why kids voted the way that they voted. Listen to how a student responded in this situation. They said, honestly, I'd be feeling lots of different emotions. But if I lost in the very first round of something, but it was a really hard situation, I would feel disappointed in myself. And disappointed doesn't feel good. I don't like feeling disappointed. But if I knew that it was a hard word at a spelling bee, or it was the best team at the softball tournament, I'd be disappointed, but I'd be able to come to terms with that. But the flip side is feeling embarrassed. If I got to the championship round of something and I made a silly error when I knew that I should have won, I would feel so embarrassed. And I'm going to be honest, Ms. Shanta, I would rather feel disappointed in myself than embarrassed in front of family and friends, because that's harder to overcome than disappointment. Feeling disappointed would motivate me to do better in the future. Embarrassment would actually cause me to not even want to try harder in the future, because I would have like stage fright. And so the way that kids process these emotions and process these questions is fascinating. Another example of what a student said in this situation was this. They said, "Ms. Genta, if we lost in the first round of a tournament, I would be sad that my family even showed up." What a waste of their time. My family, my parents are so busy. And if they drove to the game or we drove to the tournament and they maybe even took off work and we got out in the first round, we lost after the first game, I would be like, "Oh my God, mom and dad, I'm so sorry. Grandma, grandpa, I'm so sorry that I wasted your time." And another kid said, "And their money." Think about it. If you're in a tournament and you could play multiple games over multiple days and it's a single elimination tournament and we had to spend $75 or $100 or $200 to enter the tournament and we were out in the first round, not only is it a waste of time, it's a waste of money. They said, "I'd rather make a silly mistake in the championship round and know at least I didn't waste people's time and at least I didn't waste people's money." How fascinating is that? And that's what happens. Those are the kinds of conversations that unfold when we ask really strategic questions to our students. And so I want to ask, do you ask strategic questions to your students? Do you ask questions that you know are going to create a flow of conversation? Or does it feel a little bit loosey-goosey? I cannot believe a student said this. And I want to unpack the this. Because as we were talking about losing in the first round to the best versus getting to the finals, but getting second on a silly mistake, a student said, "I would much rather have a silly error in the finals because I don't want a stinking participation certificate. And if we got out in the beginning, if we got out and we never made it to the finals and we don't advance in the bracket, I bet they're going to give some silly piece of paper that said, 'We're glad you came. We're glad you tried.'" And she said, "You know what you can do with a certificate? Tear it. If it's on paper, it doesn't feel purposeful," which felt so interesting. So I said, "Okay, but what's the flip side of that?" And they said, "If I got to the finals, and even if I made a silly mistake, I choked in the finals. I should have made the free throw. I scored a goal on accident for the other team, but I still get second place. That's like a silver medal. You can't tear a silver medal. Maybe we would get a second place trophy. Like, we're getting swag and it's not a certificate. That's meaningful. That matters. That feels good. Even if I made a silly error to earn second place, that feels different." And I'm wondering, would your students have that same thought process? Would your students process that question in the same way? Now, after we started processing through the pros and cons and kind of breaking down some of the emotions and the feelings that kids had about this "would you rather" question, I hit pause on the conversation and said, "Okay, let's ponder. Now that we've heard these things, now that we have had the chance to like truly process all of this, let's revote. Let's take a second, instead of having a gut reaction, instead of having that initial instinct, let's take some time and rethink this. Did you like your original answer? Did you like your original vote, or would you like to switch it?" So we did another voting, and we did super secret voting where the kids put their heads down and they basically decide if they want to adjust their idea. And what's interesting is, most of the time when I do these dynamic "Would You Rather" Wednesdays and we break it down and we process it and we give pros and cons, some kids stay with their original answer. Some kids flip on both sides. And so on paper, it might look like the votes stayed the same, but we have kids processing it differently. And they'll jump from one side to the other. They'll be like, no, I actually want to get second place and make a silly error. And other kids who voted, second place, they're going like, nope, change my mind. I'd rather go out knowing that I played my best against the best. Isn't that fascinating? And I need you to know that these conversations aren't happening on accident. I went into this Would You Rather with a very specific game plan, a very specific structure, a very specific question, and incredibly specific follow-up questions. In fact, this works so well that I have created something called 180 Days of Awesome Social and Emotional Learning. It is 180 fully planned lessons for you for homeroom, for advisory, for morning meeting, for times to bust out when you know that you need connections with kids. And Would You Rather Wednesdays are a part of this curriculum. There's Motivation Mondays, Take a Look or Take a Listen Tuesdays, the Would You Rather Wednesdays like we're unpacking in this episode, Thrilling Thursdays or Throwback Thursdays, and then Fun Times Fridays. This structure is specific, this structure is systematic, and this structure is so special for students and for us as staff. It's not an accident. It's not a whim. It's not one more thing on our plates, because I genuinely believe that lessons like this, conversations like this, make a huge difference. In fact, that's why I released the curriculum that I have used with my own students that I wrote, that I curated over the years. I've released it and it's available to you. You can go to monicagenta.com/180SEL. That's Monica, GENTA.com/180SEL, as in 180 fully planned social and emotional learning lessons. There's two different versions too, depending on if you are an elementary teacher, middle school teacher, or high school teacher. I'm going to put a direct link for that in the show notes, so you can click on that and check it out. I am telling you, this Would You Rather Wednesday, which is part of a full 180-day planned curriculum, is absolutely incredible. It's engaging, and it would mean that you would never actually have to plan another morning meeting, advisory, or social and emotional learning lesson again, because I've done it for you. And most importantly, these work. These make a difference. These make an impact, not just on the life, college, and career readiness skills of our kids, but they make a significant impact on the culture and the connections of our kids. And that matters. One of the most important things that we can do as teachers with any curriculum or with any course is to personalize it and make significant connections to our own students. Sometimes it feels like lessons or strategies are kind of cookie cutter, but my favorite part, and the thing that I think that we need to do more of as teachers, is making it significant and special to our specific students. And so one of the things that I did in this lesson was, instead of using sports as an analogy, and instead of using a spelling bee as an analogy, I hit pause for people and I said, okay, but what kind of connections can you come up with? If we're looking at losing in the first round of something, but we played our best against the best, versus I got to the final round and I made a silly error, but I still got second, what else could we connect this to? And a kid raised his hand and he said, harvest season. And I said, you're going to have to unpack what you mean by that, because I live in a farming community. And ironically, the day that I was unfolding this SEL lesson with kids, it was FFA week. And they were wearing their John Deere. They were wearing their Case. They were wearing their Kubota gear. It was Battle of the Tractor Brands. And a kid raises his hand and he said, this lesson could be connected to the harvest. And I said, oh yeah, let's unpack this. I have no idea about farming culture and farming implements in different brands, but you do. You're the expert. Explain how we can make a connection to farming here. And he said, all right, it's like when we're in harvest time and we have got all of our harvest into the semis, our bushels into the semis, and we bring it to the weigh-in station and we got done first. We're like, oh, we're bragging because our fields got farmed first. We're finished. Let's go. And then we go. And they analyze how good our crop is. And they said, listen, we're going to only give you 1 cent per bushel. They're like, that would feel so bad. It would have felt so good to give it harvested so quickly, but it would have felt so bad because we didn't get as much per bushel as we should have. And then another kid said, and that's why we got to take our time and do a great job. He said, I'd rather get done like second to last, but get paid the big bucks for our bushels. And I literally said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, yeah, you got to take your time. He said, you got to use a John Deere tractor because those are the best because Case tractors blow up in the fields. And I said, I don't know if that's true or not. They're like, trust me, Miss Genta, never buy a Case tractor. And I said, I will likely never buy a tractor, but keep going. I'm feeling your passion. I love this for you as people. Keep going. And he said, you got to take your time. You gotta spray your crops. You gotta love on your crops. You gotta time it right. And then you bring it to the weigh-in station and they look at how healthy it is. And they say, listen, the top price that we can give for bushels this season is 5 cents. And this isn't the best that we've ever seen, but we will give you 4 cents a bushel. He said, I'd feel really good about that, even if it took me double the amount of time to harvest all the crops. And I am not using the correct vocabulary. I am sure I am butchering their perspective. I am trying to recall the farming culture jargon vocabulary that they used. But what I can say is they got it. They understood. They made connections. I saw a lot of head nods and I thought, this is incredible. This is exactly how we as teachers can amplify our teaching. This is exactly as teachers how we can take something that feels sterile and make it special for students. That is how we should approach social and emotional learning. That is how we should approach our morning meeting or our first five or the end of the school day homeroom that feels like a freaking free-for-all sometimes. I think that happens a lot too. You talk with teachers across the country and in different classrooms. They're like, hey, do you have a homeroom, advisory, a morning meeting, a social emotional learning time? What do you do with it? And they're like, ugh, it's a mess. It's kind of a free-for-all. And I think, no, dang it. Like, we got to take that free time and turn it into freaking meaningful time. And I get that it feels like one more thing on our plate. I get that it feels like another thing that we have to plan for. And that's also why I think something like 180 days of awesome social emotional learning can absolutely change things for the better for your classroom. And I would love to share that with you. As a reminder, that is in the show notes. You can go to monicagenta.com/180SEL to check out the lessons. This Would You Rather Wednesday dynamic discussion about first, but you played the best, but you were first out, or second, and you made a silly error. This is just one of many, many, many would you rathers that I've already set up the structure for you. And I cannot wait to hear how this goes with your students. As a reminder, new episodes of This Teacher Life podcast drop every single Sunday night, so you are ready to listen on your Monday morning commute. I hope you have enjoyed this episode, and I want to thank you for listening. But most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.